You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Matt Halleck coming at you with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am eager and excited to get back into connecting with you, gentlemen. I have been going through some growth and some challenges from that the Lord is challenging me to do, and I am going to respond and give it everything that I've got. And you guys are going to be the recipients, the ones who benefit from it. It's not benefactor, whatever. You are going to receive the benefits of that. And before we get into the topic of today's episode, I just want to remind you to pick up a copy of the DNA of a Man. It is going to change your life if you read it. I wouldn't have said that, a year and a half ago. I had no idea that book was going to be changing men's lives. I wrote it because it was something burning in me that I had to write. I didn't have a choice. I had to get it out there in order to be true to myself, in order to just, like there's the scripture in Jeremiah that says, your word was shut up in my bones like a fire. It was burning in me, and I couldn't help it. I had to let it out. And a year and a half ago, when I started marketing and selling it through Facebook ads, I had no idea that that word would be like a fire that consumed so many of you, where I've gotten messages talking to me about how guys have decided to not take their own lives, about how their marriages are turning around, about how they are finding a connection with Jesus again that they had lost, how they are overcoming the wounds of fatherlessness, how they are overcoming the self-deprecation and the lies that Satan is throwing at them. So when I say the book will change your life, I'm not just promoting myself with fancy words and hyperbole. I mean it. So I encourage you to head over to manwarriorking.com/DNA. You can find the book there for only $6.90. It's cheaper there than it is on Amazon. And if you buy it, you'll get on my email list. You will be able to see communication from me about other things going on. You will also have an opportunity to purchase a couple other courses if you want along the way. But I also would like to take a moment to just tell you about the Ranks of a Doulam. That is our group coaching program, because in the scriptures, there's David's mighty men who were the fiercest warriors known to history. If you look them up in the Bible, you will see all kinds of amazing feats that they did. But they came to David, they gathered to him at the Cave of Adullam. And it says that when these men gathered to David at first, they were men of bitterness, despair, they were in debt, all of the above. They were nothing impressive. They were nothing worth writing home about, and they certainly weren't the kind of men that I would want to build my army with, and yet these are the men that gathered to David. And at that Cave of Adullam, they took a step that signified the complete transformation of their lives. They said, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing left. I have no other choice but to submit and surrender and to pledge my allegiance to my king. And so inside our Ranks of Adullam, we are going through the same type of transformation. We are seeing men whose marriages are on the rocks find hope and freedom. We are seeing men who have already been divorced figuring out how to become better husbands and men, because their story is not finished. And they're going to be married again, and they're going to do it right. And they're going to find a woman of character and value. We are seeing men stuck in addiction finding freedom from the shame and the guilt of it. We are seeing men finding healing from depression and anxiety. We are seeing men finding physical healing at the hands of Jesus. If you want to be a part of this monthly membership program, it is only at the moment $70 per month, and it is going to be one of the best investments you could make. But the way to get in is to first buy the book, The DNA of a Man. So with that said, today, gentlemen, I want to talk with you about anger. The virtue of anger. Not the sin. See, anger is this taboo concept in the Christian world. We shy away from it. And for some of us, rightly so, there are many of us who have had anger, quote-unquote, problems, where we can't seem to control our anger. We communicate in anger way more than is necessary or appropriate. We've hurt others. We've broken people's spirits. We have burned bridges because of anger, and I understand that. So this is not a call to get back into that type of anger. But the scriptures say to be angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. I was listening to Andrew Womack, who is a very well-known and powerful preacher. He teaches so many amazing lessons that this generation of believers needs, because we've become a sick, weary, beleaguered, emaciated excuse for a body of Jesus. And we've been so sickened and weakened by stupid theology that takes the fight and the power and the grit and the spirit out of our faith. Andrew Womack preaches the gospel as it stands, and he doesn't make apology for it, and he doesn't explain it away. And I know there are many preachers out there who do that with certain things, such as the fact that Jesus is the only way to salvation and there is sin and there's a hell, I get it. But what has been a problem for us that has taken the life and the power and the passion out of the walk of faith that we are called to is this cutting off of the balls of Christianity. Where when it comes to things that are too good to believe or too outlandish to be able to accept, too outside of our experience and what we have seen with our own eyes, then we tend to write those things off and explain them away. One of those things is healing. Andrew Womack makes no apology for his belief that we have already been healed by Jesus. He says that God's favorite way to heal is not necessarily through someone laying hands on you and a moment of prayer to see you get healed, though he readily admits that does happen, and he himself prays for people to be healed and sees it. But what he teaches is that God's favorite way to see his people healed is through their own faith. And I might lose some listeners, I might lose some subscribers as I talk about this, but I'm tired of being afraid to talk about it. I'm tired of letting our pain from the past keep us from having honest discussions about what the Bible actually says. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of letting more and more people suffer in sickness and even dying from it because nobody is going here in this discussion of healing. And you say, well, I've been struggling with sickness for this many years, and are you telling me that I'm still sick because I don't have enough faith? And if you find yourself taking offense or getting ready to take offense, please hear me. I am dealing with a chronic health condition that has been in my body for 15 years, and many of our listeners already know that. And this is one that is not a light issue that I could just go ahead and move on and deal with. This is one that has debilitated me at various seasons in my life. It's one that has threatened to kill me. It's one that has drained our bank accounts, that has stolen our future, that has squashed dreams. It's one where I was unable to get out of bed except to go to the bathroom. So I kept a jar on my side of the bed so I could pee in it at night. Otherwise, it would take me a half hour to get up and out and over to the bathroom in the very next room over. And I would be in excruciating pain. I couldn't bear it. So if you find yourself getting ready to take offense at what I'm saying, remember, I'm in the trenches with you. So Andrew Womack teaches that our healing is already done. Past tense, by his wounds, you were healed. He teaches that Jesus already bore our sicknesses on the cross. And that for us to be able to appropriate and to experience this health and healing, it requires us to walk in faith, even in the face of the feelings, the physical feelings in our body that would tell us, hey, by the way, you're not healed. And he even makes the point that some of us may not ever see our healing in this life because we will not have been able to grow in our faith to that point because we've chosen to still think according to our senses, to still think according to what we see with our eyes and according to the physical experience rather than being transformed by the renewing of our minds and learning to think and to perceive and to see according to the Spirit, according to faith rooted in the Word of God. And so what has happened in the church as we have moved away from this into a belief in either that God no longer does miracles, that was for the apostles, or a belief that many people who don't believe that miracles are done only go so far as to say God can heal. But they don't venture to say that God will. They don't know whether it's his will or not. And I would like to suggest that not knowing whether it's his will or not is just a cowardly tool that we use to hide behind. How dare we say we don't know whether it's God's will or not when he's spoken about it in his word? How dare we say that I don't know whether it's his will or not when he commands us to understand his will? But because we don't have enough faith to believe that if we lay hands on the sick person, they will recover, or we don't have enough faith to believe that we ourselves will recover if we fight the good fight of faith and do not grow weary, then we come up with our weaker theology that allows us to stay small, that allows us to take what comes, that allows us to drift through the days of our life, never rising above and out of the ashes, never rising above the current circumstance, never rising to a new level of faith and experience of God's goodness and his kingdom in the earth. And it, instead of awakening our manly grit and drive and desire and determination to fight, we stay small. We stay defeated in spirit and in mind. We stay apologetic for ourselves, and in self-pity, feeling sorry, wishing that things were different, but feeling like I can't do anything about this because maybe it's God's will. And by the way, if sickness is not a thing that is near and dear to you, then apply this to wherever you are stuck in your life. Have you just settled for your anger problem? Have you just settled for your depression problem? Have you just settled for the anxiety? Have you settled for the porn addiction? Have you settled for the alcohol addiction? Have you settled for the disconnected marriage? Have you settled for the poverty? Have you settled for the lack of vision, the lack of calling, the lack of destiny over your life and your family's life? Have you settled for any of that? See, it's time, gentlemen, that you and I stop being wimps. It's time that we stop hiding everything in our lives underneath the covering of God's will. Just because a thing is happening to you does not mean it's God's will. There's plenty in the world that happens that is not his will. So stop letting the events of your life tell you whether or not a thing is what he wants for you. Instead, take the risk, man up, face the facts, face yourself, face your own life in the mirror, and hold it up in comparison with the Word of God. Does your life match his promises? Does your life match what he says he wants for you? If so, fantastic. But if not, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stay small or are you going to get angry? The world right now is suffering from Christian men who aren't angry. It's suffering from a lack of holy anger. Your family's suffering from a lack of your anger. Obviously not at them raging through the house, storming around and wounding them emotionally or whatever. No. But do you need a shot in the arm of life? Are there things in your life, in your home, in your family that are broken and wrong and you have been passively taking it in underneath the guise of submitting to God's will and learning how to be joyful somehow in the midst? When maybe all along you should have gotten angry and risen up like a man to defend yourself, to defend your home, and to see God's heart come into play, come to pass, manifest itself in your life. Where does Scripture finally carry more authority than your current circumstances? Are you battling sickness? When was the last time you got angry? Not because you got such a crappy lot in life, but you got angry because there's a situation in your body that thinks that it has more authority and power over you than the blood of Jesus. When was the last time you got angry about that? You said, no more. This thing has tried to steal my life. It's tried to steal my family's life. It's tried to steal the father of my kids. And I'm going to say no more. I'm done with it. I will not accept it. And I will not live under it. And I will not take it lying down anymore. When was the last time you found fire? Stand and defend your wife from the things that are coming against her. When was the last time you got angry on her behalf? See that verse that says, be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down on your anger, and neither give the devil a foothold. I understand that most of what we know about this verse, most of what we've been taught is, hey, yeah, go ahead and be angry, but don't sin. And it will be sinning if you stay angry for the rest of the day and don't resolve it before going to bed. And to be honest, maybe that's the more accurate interpretation of this verse. I don't know. But one thing that Andrew Womack said about this was the first I'd ever heard of it. And again, maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But it's at least worth thinking about. The way he teaches it is, go ahead, let your anger arise. Be angry. Don't sin while you're angry, but be angry. And then he says, don't let the sun set on your anger, meaning do not let it wane. Do not let the fire of your anger go dark and dim, but let it burn brightly. Let it stay kindled. Because if you let it die, then you're going to give the devil a foothold. Because your anger moves you to faith. It moves you to manly action. It moves you to fight against darkness and to fight for the kingdom being made manifest in your life. So if you let the anger die and you just start to take whatever comes and you just start to be, oh, okay, and you play nice, you're giving Satan a foothold. How many of you have heard that interpretation before? I'm willing to bet not many, if any. It's time, gentlemen, to put a line in the sand and say, you can't come back. You can't cross this line anymore. Stand up. Look the enemies that have been following after you in the eye and say, my God has beaten you. Therefore, I will not bow to you. Can you do this? Will you do this? Gentlemen, we don't have any more time. We don't have time to see how God turns things out someday. Your time, your day of salvation is right now. Why would you be lazy and fiddle around wondering whether what I'm telling you is right and holy? You already know the situation in your life reeks more of hell than of heaven. Why would you sit here and wonder if this is for you? You know what God likes? He likes audacious men who see problems and do something about it, and then worry about whether or not it was the best way of handling something afterwards. He likes men who see problems, who take action, and who trust that God is going to be with them, and if they are out of line, he's going to correct them. Now, I'm not talking about you just being completely disconnected from him and going off and doing your own thing and hoping and praying and wanting him to come and endorse your own selfish, carnal, separate from him pursuits. I'm not talking about you building things in the flesh outside of his presence and leading. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a man who is submitted to God, who loves him deeply, who spends time getting to know him, who spends time becoming like him, who spends time building the love between him and Jesus and the Father and the Spirit. That man who sees a problem and does something about it. Because it's that man who is dependent wholly on the Father. Thank you for listening, gentlemen. Reminder, head to manwarriorking.com/DNA to pick up the book. You can contact me there. You can get in touch. You can ask me about the ranks of a doulam. And you can ask me about the one-on-one coaching that I do with men to help dig into the nitty-gritty details of their lives and very often their marriages, to put them on a path of passion, intimacy, and fire. I love you, gentlemen. Peace. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness, Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker. You are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.